G'day ballers and welcome to the Sunday Snap coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the new big news coming out of round five is the coach's Tubes' pods. Tubes, how are you, mate? You fired up tonight?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Not really. It's been a tough weekend I've had. We got some strong feedback, and then it came from the big bosses over at Baller HQ that we got to keep this pod under an hour, Jono. But I feel like I could keep it under 10 minutes. The amount that I want to be talking about Gutho and the weekend that was.
Yeah, I think normally every show we've done, one of us has gone well and the other one's gone poor. This is the first week we've kind of come into it where we're both below par, so it might even be a little bit snappier than usual, I think. But, yeah, look, I think the par's probably around 1150 to 1200 within that range somewhere this weekend. What did you end up on?
Not the worst. It was a roller coaster to get there. I got 1,097. I captained Jaden Campbell. My team name could almost be Tubes as Titans. I've gone a bit too all in on the Titans, which is probably means I'm in for a volatile year. Bo Fermor got 28 in my team. Tino didn't go that well. The upgrades today were kind to me, though, that's for sure. I was close to trading in for Feeder, so thankfully didn't do that as well.
And the deleting the app message came through at about, 6:30, 7 o'clock yesterday after the Titans. It was the almost fortnightly Tuesday message of, I'm deleting the app, came through.
I think it was worse than that. I think basically it wasn't even I'm deleting the app. It was just I'm not playing this stupid game again.
All right, well, that's going to lead us nicely. It's already rageful, so I'm glad we're starting off with the rage trade today. But just before we get to that, a couple of plugs. The SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there is $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The winner gets $3,000 and then $500 each to the people who come in behind. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. And choose big news this week. The website went live to everyone this week. And we mentioned last week that the people who'd signed up to the website got a little sneak peek. Live, baller.live, B-A-L-L-R.live. How good was it?
Yeah, it's good. It's just so quick. I mean, for those of you that watch a sneaky footy game on your phone or on KO, I caught myself a few times this weekend where I was like, oh, they're about to score here because it had already updated on the live app. It's that fast.
The speed's incredible. And you said, like, for people watching on their phone or through KO, I was at the Raiders vs. Sharks game on Thursday night and I was sitting with my mate Albie and he had the baller app open and Matty Nicholson scored a try. And seriously, like, we were watching him celebrate and then Albie just goes to me, look at the app, and it had already updated with Nicholson's points, like while the celebration was still going. So it's seriously lightning. So, yeah, for those Supercoach diehards out there, which I'm assuming if you listen to the Sunday Snap, you're probably a Supercoach diehard. So you just got to get onto it because it's unbelievable. And there's even more features to come, which we don't want to get into now. We'll save that for big announcements down the road, but some more features and more big announcements coming soon. All right, Tubes, let's start with our rage trade.
Are you little?
Who of your Titans players is on the chopping block for you?
Yeah, I think I also wrote yesterday that I won't have any problems finding someone from my team to rage trade this week. But yeah, I think we mentioned him, and it was the man Bo Fermor. Didn't look good when he was named in the centres. Sort of was hoping for a sneaky try, which wasn't great when he was matching up against Herbie. 28 points at 600K. He just hasn't lit the world on fire, and I just hate that role. I hate that if there's an injury in the back line or if someone's out, like he's next man up now, basically. Like they didn't bring in Cam Pereira or anything like that. Their solution is play firmer in the center. So I just can't have that in my team, realistically. So he's got to go.
Well, for the first time on the Sunday Snap, we have a joint rage trade because my rage trade candidate is Bo Thurmore as well. Jeez, I was dirty. We spruiked him tubes as a bit of a pot option. He's only in 5% of teams, and I think that makes it hurt more because if he was widely owned, you can forgive these kind of down weeks, but he's only in 5%. And one of the reasons you and I both brought him in was because of his reliability. That was one of the big things is he's going to bust you out. 50-plus points in base loss per every week, and if you get to try, that's the cherry on top. And, yeah, if he's going to be playing in centres, we just can't have that. If he is named in the centres next week, which I don't think he will be, choose, because Jojo Fifita has announced he was out with a corked thigh, so I don't think it's a long-term thing. But if he is to be named this week in the centres, I'm a big chance of just rage trading him straight out.
If he's named in the centres, he's 100% out. They play the Dragons, so I probably don't want to trade him, but I will. Yeah, not happy with him at all.
No, not happy, Jan. All right, well, let's get into our analysis of the games of the weekend. And the first one I already mentioned was the Raiders versus the Sharks at Canberra, GIO Stadium. And a couple of big, strong forwards point scorers coming into this game. The three Raiders' top point scorers were all forwards. You had Podson, Hudson Young had 110 with a double, and big Joey Tarpanay had 91 with 5 tackle busts and 5 offloads in 60 minutes of gameplay. Tubes, what stood out to you about those big forwards?
Just Matty Nicholson, what was it, like 3 tackle breaks, ran straight over the top of Brayley and scored his, I think it was his 3rd try of the season. His minutes look solid, nearly 80 again, and he clearly seems to be a try scorer. He could turn into one of Ricky's boys very quickly if he's not already.
Yeah, he's definitely a big, strong runner of the ball. And 40 tackles he gets for his work. Like you said, Tubes, he nearly played the 80. He came off at the 77-minute mark, and it wasn't no injury concerns. He was just absolutely out on his feet. Like, he could barely walk. And funnily enough, when he came off, they brought on Josh Papali'i, and Papali'i actually threw the offload. The first offload in that big play that led up to the try was Papali'i. And I think with the way Nicholson was going, he wasn't going to do that. So I do worry maybe they're going to look at reducing those minutes slightly, looking at how gassed he was at the back end. But until Hoskin comes up, it's looking good. He's going to go up another 50K now, and his break-even's going to be pretty close to zero coming into next week. The other Raiders forward who's always getting it done is the Horse. He had 65 points. He is a bit of a minutes watch now, Tubes. He played the first 51 minutes, and there was no sign of him coming back on. Like, he was just done. The second he came off the field, they were cooling him down and had no signs of putting him back on the field. 51 minutes isn't the best. You'd be hoping he'd pushing up around that 60 mark.
Yeah, I think he's a trade. Break even at 33. I might be looking to let him go towards someone like a David Fifita or something like that in the next week or two. He's very highly owned, probably plays Origin this year. I don't mind the thought of moving the Horse on.
You can't, though, while he's still getting 65 points, can you? Like, I get where you're coming from, and it's a watch, but you're not going to trade him out soon. Not next week.
Probably not next week. I do like the option of trading him out. As you say, it's just see what happens with Ricky's minutes. Like, Tarpanay was very good. I know he played decent minutes as well.
60.
Papali'i played very little minutes. Hosking still to come back into the side. There's just too many good players in that forward pack for what the minutes could be.
Yeah, and when Hosking comes back in, that's either going to mean that Nicholson or Hosking play off the bench, and whoever it is of those two is getting more minutes than Simi Sasangi as well. So, yeah, that the strength of forward pack could mean a minutes logjam. So watch this space. Tubes, onto the team that you support, the Cronulla Sharks. I mean, we just have to start with Nicho Hynes. He's got a 48. He's got a break-even 130. And I just want to throw it to you for your thoughts. I'm referring it to as the Trindle problem. What do you want to say about Nicho and Trindle?
I don't think there's much more to say than what's already been said. I don't think that the Sharks' best way to play is handing more of the keys to Trindle, but I don't think that Trindle can play without their keys handed to him. So there's just going to be this constant battle all year of trying to get the best play out of the Sharks versus Trindle doing what he does poorly. And I think we saw it, we've seen it 2 weeks in a row now. When Trindle and Kennedy have bad games, the Sharks are very bad because they can have, they still stay quite dominant and they can have very poor games. I'd like Nico to be able to take over in those situations, but for some reason the hooker doesn't seem to allow it to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the saving grace is that he's got that goal kicking, and he did kick well on the week, and I think he had either 16 or 20 points if his score came from that. So when he's Kiko Hines, that he's going to have a pretty high floor. But it is concerning. I think we just all got to get in our minds that the Nico of old isn't coming back because of Trindle, like you mentioned, and what's going to happen. There'll be some big weeks, but there won't be that consistent where it feels like he's a guaranteed captaincy option every single week. I think we just have to come to terms that that's over.
It was a very frustrating watch, though, because it felt like he was screaming for the ball quite a number of times, and just
he was.
For some reason, they weren't going to it. It was frustrating. But you're right. The big scores will be there. I mean, those Saturday, Sunday arvos at Shark Parks, the 150s will still be in his kit locker. We'll just have to hold on and wait and see. I can't see that he's a sell. We'll just wait and see. It's the one who's been consistent for the Sharks points-wise, but you can't be bringing him in, is Nikora. He's scored like six tries this season now, I'm pretty sure, in the first five rounds. So five tries this year. Pretty crazy.
What do you make of Nikora? Because his base is way down. Like, do you think it's a deliberate tactic of let's not use him for as much grunt work so he's fresh and a weapon close to the line? Is it a deliberate tactic that they're using, or do you think he's just easing his way into the season? Because he certainly doesn't look unfit. Like, when he runs the ball close to the line, he's powerful and strong.
It could be that, but that's not good for Supercoach because he's not going to score tries or certainly doubles every week, and it impacts his. I hadn't thought about that. He definitely still looks good as a footballer, just not necessarily getting it done base wise for the Sharks, for the Supercoach. Right. Sorry.
Moving on to the second game of the round was the Panthers versus the Cowboys, where the Cowboys got a massive upset at CommBank Stadium. Shubes, I just want to start with a couple of your guys, and one of them was Murray Chiuolangi, who got a 90. I just want to chuck it out there because he was your little black book last week. So got that one right at least, Shubes.
Yeah, no, he looked good. Him and Purdue. Like, I really like that left edge. That was sort of the play. I didn't expect it necessarily to come against the Panthers, but they're building a very nice combination down that left-hand edge, similar to what Val and Tuolungi had previously. But I think Purdue potentially has more upside to feed Murray even more than Val did.
He's going to be up over 400K now, Purdue. And we were saying, Tubes, after round two, we both kind of agreed that he wasn't a playable option, but he's looking like, I think you guys christened him Playdew in our group chat this week. He's looking very playable at the moment.
Yeah, he's looking very good. 88 with a try and an assist, but that was still pretty good base, and I think he's going to have a negative break even after the upgrade in his number, so or nice. Thereabouts zero. So, I can't think that he's a bring-in, but very nice for those that held on to him.
Yeah. Scott Drinkwater had a 74. He's going to drop to around 700K now, which is just so cheap for Drinky. Jeez, we actually just need him to settle down a little bit now. I wouldn't mind a bad game out of Drinky so that we can bring him in dirt cheap either after the round 7 bye or even after the round 12 bye for that dream run that the Cowboys have through the origin period. So settle down a little bit, Drinky.
Him and, I'm sure, we'll talk about him, Teddy. Like, can you just drop in price for us, please, over the next few weeks?
To the Panthers, speaking of dropping in price, Isaiah Yeo, he's had an 85. He's pretty much bottomed out now. He's going to be at 647K or thereabouts. And it's basically, it's now or never. If you're going to bring in Yeo, you've got to do it next week because they got a round 11 bye. Origin's on the horizon. So if you are going to do Yeo, do it next week, basically. Do it last week if you can go back in time. What about Nathan Cleary? Who's ended up being upgraded to 94. He was on 53 at the half.
Sorry,
the time machine.
Just if you can go back in time, like, I mean, I wish Sound I advice. Could go back in time right now. So
Jaden Campbell,
if anyone
would have
out
captain.
There's got a time machine, I wouldn't be talking about Yeo, but there'll be a few things to change.
You know, no one will be talking about Yeo because that's still not how you pronounce his name. It's Yo. He's one. All right, sorry, we're on to Cleary. So, Tubes, he got 94. He was on 53 at halftime. He only had one major attacking stat with an assist. I mean, just how good. I ended up captaining him. I had the VC on Nico. He was a very popular VC option this week, so a lot of people didn't quite look enough to go through with the loop, but pretty happy for those of us who ended up with the captaincy on him.
Yeah, and I really wanted to captain him. You know what I hadn't considered about this whole VC loop thing is it's really hard to then think about who you want to drop out of your side. Like that, like, you know you get the low point, you know you get the AE thing, but you got to pick the person that you want to drop out of your as your 17s get a little bit stronger. I hadn't actually considered that. And that's what sort of threw me off, but I mean, and without the upgrade of Cleary, but he was the best captaincy option this week outside of someone we're going to have to talk about soon. And so,
no, yeah, we'll skip over that.
Did a good job, 94.
And Jenkins had 66 with a try assist and two line breaks and should have been a bit bigger if only Casey McLean could pass that ball. He lost the game for his team, Casey McLean, by not passing the ball to a completely unmarked Jenkins. 2 weeks in a row now that Jenko's just been lying in front of him, hands up, ready for the ball, and the man inside him hasn't delivered.
Yeah, crazy. He could have had two tons in a row. But, yeah, he looks good. A little bit less in base this week on the wing compared to center, but still looked one of their better outside backs with Isaac Tungo potentially being dropped. I mean, I'm making that up, but he had a horrendous game of football. So yeah. You got to think Jenkins' job security is very safe even when Big Bad Brian's back, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. In a team with Jenkins, Casey McLean and Isaac Tungo, you'd probably say that Jenkins has the best job security of those three because you're saying that Tungo might get dropped, but I can't imagine Ivan's too happy with Casey McLean either after that bomb
I
try.
I thought Casey had a good game apart from that bomb try.
He did. Yeah. No, he did. But that's got to be frustrating as a coach.
Yeah.
The Rabbitohs versus Roosters at the core. Love this game with the Rabbitohs pulling out a gritty win. And Trell, who was actually brought in by 3% of super coaches this week, he had a 51 and he certainly looked a little bit rusty, Trell. They went to him a lot early and I think just expected magic to happen and they weren't earning it first before trying to go to him and then it kind of calmed down and went back into normal style of play. But he certainly got more involved after Cody and Humphreys went off with their hamstring injuries. So it's just going to be interesting, Chews, with those injuries now. If they're both missing next week, I'm curious to see what Trell's role ends up being. If they keep him at centre, if there's maybe a need for Jai Gray to go to 5'8 and Trell goes back to fullback. Just very much a watch this space. But if he can drop under 600K and if he gets dual centre wing position, it's basically a cheat code. It's almost unfair if that happens. What do you make of Trell?
Oh, I mean, he looked like he wanted to get involved, nearly scored that try just from dummy half. I thought he looked good. It will be interesting because if they name him at 5'8", then that puts in jeopardy even more of his dual centre wing status. Like he might only end up playing one or two games at centre wing and then a couple of games at 5'8", and then he might find himself back at fullback. I wouldn't be shocked that hopefully they name him in the centres, but he just plays that more dominant role like he did at the back end of the game with potentially Jack Whiten playing 5'8". Trell's just got such a great kicking game as well with his big left boot.
Yeah, and I think the most likely outcome for South is if Cody and Humphreys are out is that Lewis Dodd's halfback and Jaden Sullivan's 5'8". So I think it's unlikely that he gets named anywhere else, but it's just something to watch. What about very happy Tubes? As we've established, I'm the president of the Hub Club, the Lockie Hubner fan club, and he was back this week starting lock. He had a 64 with a beautiful try assist to Junior Totola. And just his passing around the middle looked really, really sharp. He's going to be he's going to go up 70K instead of a negative 20 BE. And he spent most of his likely inflated 62 minutes in the back row because with all those injuries, he actually didn't end up playing in the middle and getting through the work he normally does. But just looks great. Looks playable.
Yeah. Nice fattening up as well. I don't think I'll ever play him, but I look forward to him getting to 500K and then selling him on.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't take too long. What about Seal Wong? far out. 119 points, 80 minutes again. And like in terms of actual footy, he's actually kind of starting to live up to his potential now. He's going to be around 500K and have a negative break even. I'm seeing some chatter from people out there, Tubes, about potentially still picking him up. What do you think? Is it worth getting him at 500K and he might be a kind of undervalued year-end season keeper?
I can't decide. He was an RTE from way back. Just couldn't trust Robbo for the minutes and just but he's now that he's had some consistent 80-minute games in first grade, he looks unbelievable. 500K is a big premium to pay, though. In I still just can't really trust Robbo, but yeah, I don't know. What do you think? It's I find it such a tricky one. He looks so good.
I think I've missed him. I'm happy to let it go. And it's frustrating because he was in my team the entire preseason, right up until round one. He was actually named off the bench in round one and then before kickoff got upgraded to a start. And I had him all preseason. I really like him as a player. I still think they got such good forward depth and I still think that his defensive reads have been a little bit off at times and that continued on the weekend, as good as he did look in attack. But I'm just going to let it go. Well done to the people who picked him up. Such a huge play. He's going to have gone up 180K already and heaps more on the horizon. A play every week. Just well done, but I'm going to let him go.
Are we going to mention my RTE from last week, McGrath?
Yeah.
Ready to explode?
Take the floor. Go for it.
Just, I was trying to tell you over the weekend, there's a big difference between getting 90 and 100. Teddy, nice 101. He's exploded. And he's just involved in everything, like as in 24 points in tackle breaks. Like he's just unbelievable. Crazy. When he gets that work through the middle. Just the big hip swinging. He just looks so good. So much super coach points.
Oh, and you just plucked him from obscurity. Really looks good on your resume. Between your little black book, Murray Chulung, you're getting a 90 and you're ready to explode, getting 101. You've had a good week, Tubes. Well done.
Yeah, only got 1,097, but somehow everything else went well.
Connor Watson, he's in 25% of Supercoach teams. He looked good in his return game. He had 55 points in 66 minutes. Just hasn't quite exploded yet, unlike your man Teddy, but he's looking like a year-end hold. So, yes, looking good. You'd love to see him getting a bit more time through the middle, but we'll see how it goes. Another one who came back, that Billy Smith had 76 with a try in his comeback game. And Tubes, if he can jag a spot in that Roosters team and potentially through Dom Young, who is seriously in football terms, been really, really poor this year for the Roosters. He's having a shocking season in terms of his defensive reads. He doesn't seem to have that high ceiling he did last year. If Billy Smith can jag a spot, he at 317K absolutely has to come onto a few radars. He's a proven Supercoach player when he gets time.
It'll be interesting. I mean, he's sort of a watch over the next few weeks. Marky Mark should be back, so hopefully get a bit more clarity of what his role will be moving forward. But he looked good. He always looks good, though. It's just such a horrid injury history. Yeah.
And Sandon Smith had 66 points with a try. We'll get it more into a little bit of what could happen to the Roosters. Should we say if or when Chad gets drop tubes? But I don't want to get too far into it, but I'm interested to see what his role looks like because there's a chance that Sandon Smith, if he goes to halfback, I worry that he could get a touch of the Luke Metcalfs about him and just become a man who's organising, not focusing on his strength, which is his running game. So keen to see what that looks like soon. Tubes, it's come to the time of the podcast where we're up to the Eels versus the Dragons game review at CommBank Stadium. I don't really think there's anyone from the Dragons that we have to talk about, is there?
Now, well done to all King Gutho owners. We had a good laugh at his expense last week with 48 points for those that spent the money to bring him in. And I think he's 21% owned, but he was quite highly captained still. And 130, well done to the baller contributors, Danny Boy and C-Mac. They've had huge weeks. And then Matt as well. I think they're all top certainly all top 1,000. I think they'll be all heading north after captaining King Gutho.
Yeah, he was the fourth most popular captain of the round. And he just seriously wanted to will them to a win yesterday, even though he couldn't do it. But, yeah, he's going to go up another 70K now. They've got games against the Titans, the Seagulls, the Roosters, the Tigers, and the Warriors coming up. So the draw's looking nice. Yeah, I hated to see it. I did think it was a fine trade. I said that in the pod last week. I understood why people did it. But, geez, I was still happy when he only got 48 with a try assist last week. And it blew up in our faces this week, Tubes. I was even baiting those other baller coaches you mentioned in our group chat, like trying to bait him into captaining him, hoping it wasn't going to go well. And I know they weren't baited by me. They would have done it because it was a smart thing to do. But, yeah, well done.
Yeah. Look, I'm not even going to comment. People do what they want. But I don't think you're holding him over the next four or five rounds, even with that juicy draw. Like, if he gets 850, 900K, like, that's just unbelievable. And I think time to cash him out.
Yeah. Well, another one who's going to be very popular is Dylan Egan, who got 52 all in base plus power on the weekend, played 54 minutes in combined middle and edge role. He's going to have a negative 29 break even or thereabouts heading into his first price rise of the year. And he's bottom price Supercoach player, 199K. Is he must have territory, Tubes?
I think so. Two weeks in a row, 50 odd in the middle. Just looks a very solid player, as you say, gets through that base. 198K, like, yeah, perfect downgrade option to get cash to make some moves next week.
Tubes, can you please be in charge of talking about the next person on our run sheet? I don't want to do it.
Before I talk about Iongi, can you just make sure you tell me which gun you're thinking about trading out next week, Jono? So Garrick a couple of weeks ago went 160. Iongi hasn't looked like doing anything. He's had 107 with a try and a try assist. Dragged the Eels over the line for their first victory. I know Zach Lomax kicked the winning field goal, but it was all Iongi in that second half, just getting them over the line. Negative break E, over 400K, basically all the things that everyone wanted to see about three rounds ago has now come into existence.
All right, thanks, Jules. Moving on to Dillbags, who he got 93 points in the end with one try assist. And the thing that really stood out to me was how much more direct he was in attack. Like, he was much more taken on the line. And even if he didn't necessarily take the hit up, he was direct and then giving it out and giving the people outside him more space. So I was really impressed by that. He's under 600K now, Tubes, Dill Brown. It's just so cheap. If they can continue to look a little bit better, I know they're only playing the Dragons, but if the Eels can continue looking good, he's going to be hard to ignore, especially if he's playing like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know he's got runs on the board. I think you just need to see the Eels. I mean, for all the talk about Gutho, the Eels won the game. They beat the Dragons. The Dragons are not a good football team. So I think that I want to see that, you know, at least one or two more weeks, and I'll pay up a little bit more premium if I'm bringing Dillbags back in. At his best, at Eels playing decent with Mitch Moses back in the team, he is a premium 5'8 option. So, yeah, it's good to see him back on the weekend.
Riley Smith is one who is potentially going to be really popular this week, especially for those who are holding Starling or Mama Zealous, a.k.a. Mama Bias. He had 36 points in 66 minutes and ended up starting off the bench. He was named to start at 9. Surprisingly enough, started off behind Charlie Geimer, who got through the first 15 minutes of the game playing hooker before Riley Smith came on. 66 minutes, obviously pretty solid, Tubes. Do you think you've seen enough for him to be a good downgrade option for those people holding Starling or Mama Zealous next week?
No, I don't think so. I know he got good minutes. He's had pretty good minutes like most of the year. And basically getting in those 30s. I don't think he's a must bring in. I think there's still more to be made from some of these other hookers, or There's some other options that potentially come up that are better than him. I'm not completely sold on him. Interestingly, though, Jono, you said Geimer. He was named at hooker. But unfortunately for Hopgood owners, it was Hopgood that played the first 15
was it?
At hooker. Yeah. And and did an okay job, but it certainly killed his sort of attacking output. And just it doesn't really bode well for Hopgood's role in that Eels team as well. So, yeah, it was – and especially with Dylan Walker coming in, playing the – I think he actually made a good impact, Dylan Walker, for that, you know, talking about straightening up their attack and whatnot. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. But I think Riley Smith – I haven't seen enough from him to say that he's going to be a really good super coach player or even one that's going to get, you know, another 200-300K.
I'd still be tempted, I think. I like what I see from him as an actual football player, and there's no doubt he can get bigger minutes. Tubes, I don't know if you've heard, but he broke the fitness records at the Eels this year, beating Gutho's records. So
I think he's
capable of the – yeah. But I do like what I see from him as a footy player. I'd still be tempted if I had no other problems in my team. Tubes, let's now
I prefer to Sam Verrills. I know it's a bit sideways. When he's back, I really like Sam Verrills at the Titans playing that 80 minutes. Hooking role, yeah. I'm going to be looking at him.
And didn't they see how important he was this week with Chad Randall stifling the attack? But we'll get to that game. We'll get to it. Tubes, I want to get into what has become our most controversial segment here on the Sunday Snap, and it is ready to explode. So for people who might be new to the show, a few weeks ago I went with Payne Haas as my ready-to-explode player, fresh off the back. I think he'd got a 90 that week, and I was liking his offload he'd added to his game and thought that justified it. I absolutely copped it. So I texted you asking for clarification on what ready-to-explode segment should be, and your words were, ready-to-explode, whilst not all about rookies, is meant to be more about the up-and-comers, starting to see and maybe own a little bit like Timico of previous seasons and jumping on before they are confirmed guns. So I was like, okay, good. I understand the segment now. You then went and picked James Tedesco last week. So can we get some clarification? You invented the segment. Can you please explain what this is meant to be?
Yeah, I think my explanation to you was correct, but it just felt like last week with Tedesco being so lowly owned and just not on the radar of super coaches that I needed to do a service to everyone out there by just bringing him to the fold. And it worked. I mean, he went on and got 101 and those that brought him in, you're welcome. But back to normal viewing this week, my ready to explode, I found it difficult to find that really good up and comer across the NRL this week, so I went a little bit wider. I don't know if you watched that Roosters-Souths game, Jono. What do you think of the Chad's game?
The Chad had a very poor game. I'm going to put that nicely.
You'll see that he's not going to be my ready to explode. He's not an up and comer. Really? Yeah. So.
That would have been a twist if the Chad came in as you're ready to explode this week.
But I'm picking 198K Hugo Savala, pulled from after bringing the New South Wales Cup back side from a comeback win last week. Savala was then pulled from the side today. Maybe a little hint that there could be a shake-up in the first grade halves next week. And so I think Savala is going to come in. He's also a noted goal kicker, kicked 5 from 6 last week in that comeback victory, which will shake things up potentially with Sandon Smith. And I just think that he is going to come into that Roosters team behind a very good pack, Tedesco outside of him, and he's going to be ready to explode over the next few weeks. Chad might sail off into his media career. I think he was commentating a few games this weekend. So that might be that for Chad Townsend.
Well, there were rumours that Chad was going to be dropped, weren't there, coming into the game. So usually where there's smoke, there's fire. And if they were thinking about making a change there and then they watched that performance, it's not looking good for Chad. So
little signs, like, you know, in terms of what potentially the team are thinking of him at the moment. He kicked the ball out on the full on Friday night. You usually get at least, you know, a little pat on the back. Oh, don't worry about that, mate. Don't worry. Didn't see one.
Wow. Tube's still Tube's really getting into almost conspiracy theory stuff. I've gone deep for
RTE this week.
Oh, you're always happy to go deep when it comes to the Chad. If you can find an area to knock the Chad, you'll go deep on it. All right, Tubes, let's see if I've done my ready to explode correctly this week. I'm waiting to see you tell me it's completely wrong. But my ready to explode player from the Cowboys is Jeremiah Nanai. And he obviously is a really talented player and super coach player of the past. When he's scoring tries, getting up and about, and the Cowboys look good, he can go on really good runs. He had 49 points in 49 minutes. And you'd be thinking, based off the past, oh, he must have scored a try. He didn't. That was all in base plus power. He's going to be down to 515K this week. He has to be on the radar, Tubes, because when he gets that starting job back, which he will, and it seems like he's now, you know, pulling up the sleeves a little bit, doing a bit of hard work, he is going to be awesome when he comes back into a big minute role in that Cowboys side.
Yeah, it was a tough week for Ready to Explode, John. I'll give you a pass for that. He'll probably play Origin this year as well. Teddy probably won't, but Nanai will probably play Origin this year. But, in fairness, I think he's still only 23, Nanai. It just feels like he's been around for ages, maybe 24. I hope he does get back in the side, and I hope the Cowboys go on a nice run at some point, because I really do like watching the Cowboys. They're always exciting.
Yeah, no, good team to watch when they get going. I don't think it's a guarantee he plays Origin, but I do agree it's highly likely if he's playing well, which I anticipate he will be once he gets back into that starting team. All right, let's get in now to the second four games of the weekend, starting with Tuesday, a game we've already referenced a few times, the Gold Coast Titans versus the Finns at Cbus Stadium. Where would you like to start, Tubes? You own half of the Titans team, so let's start with the Titans players. Anyone in particular you want to mention?
I mean, I was pretty upset during the game, most of the game. I think I mentioned to you that I had the kids on my own, and it was a bit of an emotional time in the household in general, and I was sort of trying to half-watch this game where I'd captained Jaden Campbell, who finished on 28, but upgraded to 52. It's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Like,
it was a lot better, doesn't it?
Such a bad game for the Titans. And to get 52, I feel a bit buoyed by that. Fifita looked really horrible in that second half, but I thought he looked very good in their first half. Tino getting sin-binned, it just all started on the back foot. I think Fifita is going to be a big option next week or the week after, depending on whether or not he gets those minutes back in. But I thought he looked very good in that first half, at least, which was a bit of a shining light from it.
Would you,
from a Supercoach perspective, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 46 points in 65 minutes without anything too major. That's pretty solid from a Supercoach perspective. Tubes, you mentioned with Jeremiah Nanai before about Origin and saying that's a bit of a downer. Fifita, obviously a big chance of playing Origin. He was controversially not picked by Billy last week. Does that sway you at all?
I can't see that he gets picked, will he? Like, I mean, Billy didn't pick him last year. He's now coming off the bench at the moment for the Titans. I'd be getting him and backing in that he's not going to be picked. They get Gilbert back this year as well. Max Plath, son of John, he'll be a big chance playing Origin. It's going to be a packed back row.
Hmm. And I guess the difference between, unlike Nanai, Fifita is like a proven absolute Supercoach gun. Like, there's no up and down, can go on a try-scoring run. Like, when he gets minutes, he's the most relevant back rower in Supercoach and has been for a few years now. So it's not a like-for-like, is it? Because Fifita is the kind of player who you potentially hold over Origin if he's playing anyway, whereas Nanai, you don't. So not a like-for-like case. And like you mentioned, Chiefs, Tino gets sinned in. Just a heads-up for owners that he's now going to miss next week with an early guilty plea. So likely to come out of the side. On the Dolphins front, Jermaine Asako had 114 points. He, another one who's been a proven gun the last 2 years since coming over to the Finns. He's going to only be around 540K now. A little bit tempting with the goal kicking and if the Finns can start to try and find a bit of form, but he does have games coming up against the Panthers, the Storm and the Raiders in their next three. So, I don't know. He's not going to be for me, choose, but could you understand why people might jump on Asako at that price?
They just don't look very good. I know they did. The Titans was terrible on the weekend. Like, they were bad defensively. They just never looked in it. I know the Dolphin, like, they were 0-4 coming into that game for a reason. I wouldn't be going near Asako, even though he sort of bounced back on the weekend with that run coming up.
Yeah, too risky with their outside backs. Sonny John keeps getting it done. Maxi Plast had 71 points with a try. I mean, most importantly for owners, he was back to an 80-minute role, albeit on an edge. So we'll have to see what happens when Tommy Gilbert comes back and how that affects his minutes. But still, anyone who owns him, if you're one of that 10%, you've got to be pretty happy with the weekend. The Broncos versus Tigers game. Choose, if I had told you that the Broncos scored nearly 50 points on the weekend against the Tigers, what would you have thought Reece Walsh was in for?
Especially if you had told me he also kicked 4 goals, I probably would have been going 100+. So yeah. 66 is a bit, it's interesting. I thought he had a very good game. I really liked him again. I don't know. You brought in Walsh, didn't you? Like, apart from feeling bad for Reynolds with his hamstring concern, what are your thoughts on your happiness or your thoughts on his what that'll mean for Walsh's Supercoach role moving forward?
It's huge. And I think with Reynolds out, he becomes even more involved in the attack. Like you mentioned a few weeks ago, Tubes, one of the concerns potentially for Walsh owners is that with Reynolds and Hunt in the team, he was getting a less dominant role where they were just kind of letting them dictate terms. I think with that happening, Billy Walters potentially comes into the halves. Otherwise, I think they've only really got youngsters coming through the Bronx. So he has to become more involved in the attack, plus the goal kicking. I love Adam Reynolds as a South fan, but that hamstring concern is only very, very good for Reece Walsh.
Yeah. And they don't need to rush Reynolds back, you wouldn't think, like with a hamstring. Like, and he's got a history of, I don't know if he has a history of hamstring injuries, but I know he has a history of plenty of injuries. So I wouldn't be rushing him back. And I agree with everything that you just said. And hopefully it means some big scores coming up for Walsh. I can just see him at Magic Round going off up there at Suncorp.
Payne Haas was the most popular captain player of the round. 20% of all the Supercoaches chose him. And he did bring them pain, only 51 points. In 51 minutes. We'll talk a little bit more later on, Chews, about a bit of a theory you've got around his minutes, but very disappointing for those people who captain Payne Haas for this week. Their cheapies are getting it done, though. Jesse Arthurs had a 60 with 2 tries. I mean, I guess he doesn't really qualify as a cheapie anymore, but bought himself another week or two of patience. But, Chews, I'm not sitting confident. I wasn't confident with it last week. I'm even less confident with it now of the keeper tag you christened him with on last week's show. I don't know, I can't say it. He seems still so try-dependent.
It still just felt like such a weird game, but, I mean, he's beaten his break-even and they've still got a nice couple of games still coming up. Who do they play next week? The Warriors, is it? Or someone else? Either way, I think he's a keeper for still another couple of weeks. But, yeah, I mean, 2 tries and a 60 doesn't feel nice, doesn't feel great. The Roosters, they're playing, who they beat by 50 a couple of weeks ago, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Roosters into Warriors, so you were, did well there, Tubes, and then...
I you know it's a weird game when Shibasaki just didn't get it done with base either. Like, it was just very strange. He only had a 33 with a junk try. He didn't have his best game. I wouldn't say he's regressed back to the mean. I'd say that he just didn't have his best game, and we'll see how he goes this weekend against the Roosters, next weekend.
Yeah, he's still going to have a break-even of 0 coming into next week, so still plenty of money to be made. But if he does have another 30-odd, our boy Young GI might be a sell sooner than we want, Tubes. I'm not ready yet.
I'm pretty ready to move him on.
He's your man.
He is. But if he gets above 500K, I'm happy to let him go. I'm hoping for another big score, though. Just let him hang around for a little bit longer.
I want to see a TikTok, Tubes, when you have to sell Shibasaki. Shib bye bye Saki. I want to see it all over TikTok. Might be the most viewed thing in the SC Ballers feed so far. Corey Pake's got it done again. He got 52 with a try assist. He played 80 minutes with the Reynolds injury. Negative break even. A little bit less to talk about for the Tigers. Stafford Toa had 94 with two tries. So just well done to those people who picked him up under 300K, making a lot of money. Now he's going to have a break even of negative 25. You definitely don't want to be bringing him in, though. And Terrell May, 69 points in 70 minutes, and he was another popular captaincy option this round. Anything else out of the Tigers, Tubes?
Not really. It was maybe Payne that was sort of billed as a little bit. And would you say, super coach wise, May's won on points, but well, that was a good pun. But I'm not too sure he had his best game. So it's not much more to talk about than that.
All right, let's go to today's games. The Seagulls versus the Storm at Four Pines. Had to start with Grant Anderson. He had 127 points with three tries. A couple of years ago, he was kind of a bottom dollar cheapy player and still wasn't making money. Like, he looked horrible. Like, no offense to the bloke. He looked absolutely terrible in his first attempt at being a first grade footballer. And then he came in last year against the Roosters and had a huge game. And even in his games this year, he might be the most improved player I've ever seen at rugby league from a debut to where they look now. He looks incredible.
Yeah, he's just a big Storm system boy, isn't he? Like, as in, if you're a fringe first grader, do everything you can to get down to the Melbourne Storm system, because they turn you into a very good, very, very good first grader. He looked unbelievable today.
Well, funnily enough, Tubes, he actually signed with he's going to the Broncos next year, and they actually wanted to bring him over this year to play a year early, and the Storm said no because they loved him and what he brings to them. They're obviously trying to win a comp. So it'd be interesting to see. He had things been different, maybe your man Shibasaki is never even in first grade. Grant Anderson might have had his spot. We might be talking about Grant Anderson as the big cheapy player of the year. But no, he looks unbelievable. Well done to him. Ryan Pappenhausen had 65 points, and geez, he was goal-kicking so nicely. He came off early with what was originally reported as hamstring tightness, but Tubes, you have an update from NRL Physio about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it came from NRL Physio, but it was actually a picture of Pappy's Instagram story himself, where Pappy's basically just said, all good, corked glute, like, we're all good. So hopefully that he really looks out for the super coach community, Pappy. Like, he's like, tells you when he's kicking. Yeah, just looking out for us. So it was disappointing, but also I've been advocating it for, say, Tom Trbojevic, even without the cork. Like, sometimes when you're up by 30, you've got to wrap your best players in cotton wool that have had an injury history, and I'd advocate for that when they're up. I think they're up 48 to 12 or something like that at the time. Not good for Supercoach, but geez, his kicking looked good. I think he kicked 7 from 7. And literally, I don't think any of them ever left the black dot the whole way in from all over the park.
Yeah, and he might keep that kicking. Like, there's a chance Nick Meaney doesn't come back into the team, and if he does, they might just go, oh, Pappy's a better goal kicker. So that could be something he permanently gets to add to his skill set as well. Look, he was brought in by over 13,000 this week. He'll be brought in by by more again next week. I'll be one of those now that we know that this is just a cork glute, and love what we saw out of him out there. You mentioned that the team needs to wrap him in cotton wool. Tell you one man who's very good at wrapping himself in cotton wool, Tubes, is Cam Munster. 81 points he ended up on. He was on 60 after about 20 minutes, but he just does this thing, and it's what has stopped him from being like an absolute elite super coach player is he just kind of goes, all right, I'm done. You guys can all take over now, and just steps back, and that's what he did today.
It's like he needs it to be a close game. Like, once the hard stuff's over, once he's asserted his dominance, he's just sort of like, yeah, no worries, I'll just take a back seat. Let you guys all play it out. it did feel like everyone on the Storm team was getting a go today. Harry had a nice kick towards the end to set up a try. He was sort of trying to get his attacking stats up. Hughes looked great. Eli Katoa sweeping out the back. But yeah, happy with Munster's 81, but it certainly felt like, as you say, he was in for a big score early on.
You mentioned Katoa. How good does he look, Jubes? He had 85. He's seriously just unstoppable at the moment. I don't think it's crazy of me to say he's the best back rower in Supercoach and the NRL as it stands. I'd love to be able to get him in, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. He's pretty expensive. It's going to be a tough one to try and work him in. But when it comes to that Origin period, he's a Kiwi, so he's not going to be playing Origin. He's almost a must-own over that period.
Yeah, I want him in next week. Don't know. I think I can do it. I think nice downgrade. I think we talked about Egan before. So it's a downgrade upgrade. I think he's a must-have. And the Storm just have a nice run coming up as well. And he just gets it done in base plus power, and he gets it done in attack. Like, he just loves chiming in and rolling up his sleeves, but also setting up tries and scoring tries. So, yeah, need him. Need him as soon as possible.
And a bloke I won't be doing it for is Hamole Olakau'atu, who ended up with 77 points with a try assist. Tubes, you last week called him a flat track bully on the pod. I'd love to see you be like that guy from the start of the year who had to get padded up and run at Olakau'atu. I'd love to play that footage to Hamole and have you run at him and get flattened, because he's easily their best attacking weapon with Turbo out. And they were running set plays for him, and he certainly wasn't a flat track bully in the game today.
He was on like 30 after like 60 minutes. He just got a lucky try assist towards the end.
A lucky try assist where he beat six defenders and did a beautiful flick pass at the last minute out to his winger.
Yeah, when they were down by 30. So flat track or down by 30 bully, whatever you want to call it. Won't be coming into my team anytime soon.
Ruben Garrick, didn't I make the right call trading him a couple of weeks ago, Tubes? Oh, that's aged beautifully. When I traded him before, he got 160 points. Don't I look the victor of that now after he got a 46? He nearly actually got some late junk and I was so dirty, but it ended up being offside, no try. His break-even's going to be up around 140 now. And their draw is about to get tough. Yeah, no try.
Oh, that's so good. You know, it was there like 2 minutes left. And I saw him score, and I just had taken the kids to the park, and I just turned my phone off and just like shook my head after Ola's like assist, and I was just like Pappy going off. I was just thinking, oh, that just tops off my weekend. Garrick scoring there with 2 minutes left. How good. You've made my night.
Yeah.
Got taken off it.
Yep. Fair to say I won that trade, Tubes, do we think, after that 46?
Jono, I think I said it before we started the pod. It's a long year, Supercoach, so still plenty of time to play out.
They now go Sharks, Dragons, Penrith, Sharks in their next four games. I mean, maybe the Sharks don't feel as tough now as what they did previously, but I still think they're going to bounce back just fine. Really difficult decision for Garrick Onis to make this week, but I'm sure you guys will unpack that a little bit more on the Tuesday pod. Anything more you want to say about the Garrick situation?
Nah, not at all. 782K player getting 46. It just doesn't feel right. But, yeah, I think he could be a sell. Cash in.
The final game of the round was the Bulldogs versus the Knights at a core. Kalyn Ponga, a 33 before updates to back up his 45 from last week. His break-even as it currently stands before updates is 158, his break-even for next week. And they're playing the Tigers. I mean, it's a tough one, because obviously if you own him, there's no way you're selling. I think you'd be crazy to sell when they come into a game against the Tigers. What do non-owners do here, Tubes? Are you seeing enough from the Knights based on today's game? Do you feel confident bringing him back in next week?
Yeah. I mean, I have him. I think non-owners should be bringing him back in. You just have to write this week off again. I know I said that last time for Ponga, but I'm looking forward to someone doing a stat deep dive. This Bulldogs defense is just unbelievable. Their first five games they've won, all on the back of defense. I know the Knights had a few injuries, HIAs, etc. tonight, but But that, like, they just shut them down so well, those that Dogs defense. I think the Knights back at McDonald Stadium up at Newcastle, they can bounce back in a big way against the Tigers.
Yeah, the Knights also, worth mentioning, had a couple of really early injuries that stuffed up their rotations, meant they were playing with 15 people, and that's pretty hard to bounce back from as well. Like Thomas Cant, who is going to be a really popular trading target this week, he ended up playing most of the game in the centres, ended up with a 56. He's still going to have a negative 60 break even next week. And Tubes, we said that Dylan Egan was a must-have. I don't think you can get both. So you're advocating if you can only get one, it can't be Thomas. It has to be Dylan Egan.
Yeah, we got KPP coming back this week. So might be a bit different if Saifidi's gone and what their middle looks like, because they might want to move Frizzell back to the middle. But, yeah, it's not a given that Cant's even starting next week. So I definitely think that Egan is more of the is the better play of the two cheapies. Also, I think 80K cheaper or so.
Yep. Yeah, he is. Greg Marju, 545K coming into this week. He's 21% owned. He had a 33. He's going to have a 95 break even. He just hasn't looked good the last couple of weeks from a real rugby league perspective, Greg, after having a couple of really good games prior to that. Again, Tubes, if you're a non-owner, which I know you are, 95 break even coming into a game against the Tigers, you just can't touch him based on what you've seen.
It's tempting. 545K. So does he lose money this week? Like, does he go back to sort of where he started or close to?
I think it's not changing too much either direction, but I'll double check while you're talking.
I do think, look, I mean, they find him out when they get these games going where they just bomb him and he sort of gets put off by it. But, I mean, the reality is he is a worker, loves rolling up his sleeves and doing the hard stuff, but from an attacking point of view, he really is that flat track bully at the end of like a very nice moving, sweeping Kalen Ponga and everything that they're doing down that left edge. So I know his break even's high, but I think he's got points in him. I think at the price, he's still a potential trading option next week.
He's going to be about 535, 540K tubes. So, yeah, not a huge dip. Just want to quickly mention Jacob Kiras, who made his return to footy this week. He had 49 prior to updates, and that includes 5 offloads. So it's probably going to go up to the mid-50s, maybe even pushing up to 60, all in base plus power. So he's a big round 7 trade-in target option, whereas the Dogs have the bye next week. Tubes, let's get into our final segment. It's the Little Black Book. Who or what, in this case, are you jotting down in your little black book this week?
So I've got a little theory that I've come up with just by watching the games closely, and it's to do with we mentioned earlier Payne Haas. What did he played only 51 minutes this week, and just the way that they've. Madge has been working the rotations with him and Carrigan. They both, we know, can play potentially 80 minutes, but can definitely play sort of that 70-plus minutes. And it seems that Madge is, rather than making them both play less minutes in a game or both play big minutes in a game, he's potentially looking at staggering their minutes across multiple weeks. So I think there's a bit of... There's a bit in it that he could be looking at going Carrigan plays 70 plus 2 weeks in a row, and then at that same time Payne Haas plays 50 2 weeks in a row, and then he swaps it around for 2 weeks in a row after that. So I think we've just started the Haas part of – we've got the Haas part of it this week, and so just worth sort of watching that, especially for those looking to captain Payne Haas. Just jotting that down in my little black book this weekend.
Well, if Payne Haas comes out this weekend and plays, yeah, like low 50s and Carrigan plays big minutes, the theory could be on, Tubes. The rolling,
Carrigan went big minutes weeks 1 and 2. Haas went bigs 3 and 4. And then Carrigan week 5. So Carrigan would have another big minute week this week and Haas, or next week, and then Haas would would get back in on it. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it literally has just swapped around. So that is a good one to watch, Tubes. I like it. One to consider for captaincy next week. My little black book for this week is Bud Sullivan from the Rabbitohs. He's a dual 5'8 and halfback who's sub 300K with a fair bit of attacking upside. Humphrey's hamstring looks to be a minimum 3 to 4 weeks, and I think that Bud Sullivan's most likely to get that role. Cody Walker, a little bit up in the air. He came off with hamstring tightness, but he might miss next week and be back soon. Look, his break-even's in the 90s, so he's definitely not one for next week, but I just think it's worth watching and waiting and seeing about this Cody and Humphrey's hamstring situation, because if he can get an extended run in that role, he is an attacking upside player.
Yep.
No thoughts or comments? Move on?
I mean, I'm happy to jot him down. He's never been one of my boys, Bud Sullivan. But I'll be happy to see him kick on for South's fans.
It'd need to be an extended run. Otherwise, it's all completely irrelevant and it's up in the air as to what that's going to be. I just think South could go on a nice run now with Trell back, but we'll see what happens. Tubes, that pretty much brings us to a close. A reminder again about the league code, 730444. Make sure you get onto baller.live, B-A-L-L-R.live. And Tubes, couple of shows back this week on the SC Baller feed. We've got the Tuesday teamless show, Thursday for the Q&A pod. It's all happening at Baller.
It is all happening at Baller. A couple of edits, but we'll sneak in under the 1 hour mark here. Jono, well done.
Tubes, anything else?
You beauty.